Hi, I am Arati Chapagai.
I'm Kailash Mishra.
I am Aslisa Sarma Prasai.
And I'm Chandana Adhikari. This is the first season of the Bhutan Memory Podcast, where we feature stories from our Bhutanese Nepali community in Columbus, Ohio. With about 30,000 Bhutanese Nepalis in central Ohio, it is home to the largest Bhutanese community outside of Bhutan. Here is a brief history of our community. During the 1980s and early 1990s, the Bhutanese monarchy sought to create an ethnically and linguistically homogeneous state and took steps to disenfranchise the Bhutanese Nepali ethnic minority. The refugees were expelled to Nepal in the early 1990s. The evictions split up families. Some were driven out of country, while other relatives were allowed to stay behind. Between 1992 and 2007, those who fled lived in refugee camps in Nepal. Bhutan never allowed any refugees to return, and Nepal did not grant the refugees Nepali citizenship either. Eventually, with support from the United Nations, around 100,000 refugees were resettled in the U.S. and several other countries between 2007 and 2016.
In this podcast, you'll hear,
due to the lack of resources, it was a skill used to earn. There were many challenges. The thing in Nepal is about resources. We only had a blackboard, a chalk, a duster, and a book. That's all the teachers had.
Education system
is a reason why the Bhutanese had to flee from Bhutan.
This episode will revolve around the story of Hari Gautam, a resident in America who has spent quite a while progressing in the profession of a teacher. Hari was born in Gelfu block of the Sorvang district of Bhutan. Let's hear how his childhood was spent.
In my childhood, from birth to age 12, I was very keen on helping my father and mother with farming. I used to go to elementary school from preschool till fourth grade. I studied in the primary elementary school in my village. After that, around the age of 12 or 13, we settled in the refugee camp, where the next couple years of my life would revolve around.
Currently, he is a math teacher at the 9X Impact Academy in Reynoldsburg City School District. When asked about what inspired him, Hari said,
due to the lack of resources, it was a skill used to earn. When I was a student, the things I knew, the skills I have, and how it can be utilized to earn was something I wondered about. Unknowingly, I had become a teacher at that time.
We learn from experiences, and we can clearly see that from Hari's journey as he progresses to become a teacher. When talking about the challenges he faced while studying and teaching, he says,
there were many challenges. The thing in Nepal is about resources. We only had a blackboard, a chalk, a duster, and a book. That's all the teachers had. There was no internet, no devices or computers. The laptops and computers that are available for students here, there was none of that. It was also challenging for the teachers because they had to struggle a lot just to gather their resources, what they want to teach, where to find the materials they need. Finding the materials was a very big challenge. There is usually one school in the village, and the school would be an hour and a half, even 2 hours away from home. Very difficult to walk. There would be large amounts of farming as well as taking care of the animals. We had to work at home. What's the point of going to school? I have work to complete at home in order to eat, in order to provide food for home. There was a problematic consistency of school dropouts in Bhutan. One was because of the situation at home, and the second was not having the necessary accommodations at school. Students struggling mentally or physically or having impairments weren't able to get good education.
Hari obtained his education from Bhutan, and now he is thriving as a teacher in the teaching profession. Looking back at where he is now, what limitations were there in Bhutan's education system? Let's hear it from him.
There is no motivation to support the children that are struggling mentally, physically, or have a behavioral problem. What we do here is that all students under 18 come into the classroom. Who likes to go to school? Who doesn't? Who's bad? Who's mentally able? Who's hardworking? Who's lazy? None of that plays any role in providing education. In Nepal and Bhutan, everything is answer-oriented, exam-oriented teaching. It doesn't matter matter what they do other times in the exam, but the answer must be right on the exam. Even if they don't come to school the entire year, it's fine. But if they find you sitting for the exam, that is considered good. Maybe it is because of our culture. We're also from the type of culture. If we talk about Hinduism, even though I don't understand it, I have memorized lots of things. The things I have memorized, I can say it fluently. And from there, our education has started. Our religion and culture dates back to ancient time. Those same religious textbooks are found in our villages and homes. How do we read it? Well, the priest would read it and assign it, and we would memorize it and read it back to them. There was no concept of understanding what we were reading. A few priests probably understood, but no one else did. The same practice slowly started being seen in schools. Even in schools, memorizing the answer and submitting it was enough. The things you learn in class shouldn't be limited to just the exam.
You are absolutely correct. The things we learn in class shouldn't be limited to just the exams. It should also be useful within our lives. So, was that the case with Bhutan? Did the older generation learn anything useful in Bhutan schools? How were the teachers?
Dzongkha was taught early on in school, but because it was only taught one period, there was no hope in being fluent. It's the same situation as how students here learn Spanish. Here and there, we caught on to a few words. Other than that, everything was meaningless. I remember when I was in fourth grade, I had a professor and we were learning a poem in Dzongkha. To this day, I still have no idea what that poem said, and honestly, I never even tried. We had a poem in Dzongkha and we had to memorize it. The verse we had memorized, we needed to say it accurately and fluently. The ones that didn't remember would glance back at the textbook. The punishment for students who didn't remember was to carry the professor around on their backs. I didn't memorize it. A few memorized it and sat down, while the others had to carry the professor like this. Just like that, I carried my teacher when I was 10 or 11 years old. In Bhutan and Nepal, they supported teachers through focusing on how to present the curriculum, while here, they focus on how to support the students. There are a variety of students in the classroom here. The training here trains teachers how to support the needs of the diverse students.
From here, it can be justified that cramming for memorization is never useful. If in America, teachers show care for students, Bhutan is the exact opposite, where fear, terror, and punishment is favored as a teaching method. Now, let's talk about the differences in the process of becoming a teacher in Nepal and America. Hari states,
I didn't have a certification. In Nepal, the requirement for certification and license wasn't even brought up until 2008. 5 years before that, there were lots of discussions about not being able to teach without a license. Teachers wanting to work at bigger schools were told to bring their license, if not apply for one, and take the test. This was starting to become a requirement. Before that, nobody spoke much about a license. I was a student that time, so I didn't have a certification. America's basic requirements to become a teacher is a bachelor's degree, plus a teacher preparation course. If you do a preparation course from a university in America and have a bachelor's degree, you can get your license. If you talk about me personally, I'm a math teacher in Ohio. As a foreigner in Ohio, what I had to do was get a foreign transcript and submit it. I had completed my education higher than a bachelor's degree, but they had to check to see if I had actually studied that much. Once I passed the test, it was stated that my bachelor's degree is in place and I can go forward taking my teacher preparation courses.
Everyone has opinions, and when asked Hari about the changes he would like to see after experiencing student and teacher life, he mentions,
in the context of Nepal and Bhutan, we need to bring more support systems in the schools, provide more options, and the teachers shouldn't be the ultimate source of knowledge in the classroom.
We've heard from Hari about his journey of becoming a teacher, the challenges he faced, and the changes he would like to bring about or see someday in the future. In the end, he opens up by revealing,
Education system is a reason why the Bhutanese had to flee from Bhutan. There were a lot of other factors and government policies as well. But one policy that came about was the requirement of learning Dzongkha in all schools. Another thing was that Nepali was removed from the curriculum. It looks very intentional. When the Nepali language is removed, there will be no progression of the language.
Language is our civilization, our rise, and our development. May victory fall upon our language. May it live from generations to generations. I'd like to thank Mr. Hari Gautam from the bottom of my heart for his time, for the preservation of our language, and the bright future of generations to come.
Bhutanese Nepalese have worked harder than ever to get this far, and this initiative will just keep on moving forward.
I would also like to thank Bhaskar Adhikari for the English narration of Mr. Hari Gautam. This episode was produced by Chandana Adhikari in conjunction with Sudarshan Pekural and Peter Gill. Our incredible music is by Karma Bomjan.
Special thanks to Ohio Humanities, as well as Arc Builders and the Bhutanese community of Central Ohio for making this podcast possible.
Join us next time for more stories from our Bhutanese Nepali community. For more episodes and other resources, please visit our website. This podcast has been made possible, in part, by Ohio Humanities, a nonprofit organization that shares stories to spark conversations and inspire ideas.